Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we know that there are times when we don't always live up to your calling. God, help center us. Help bring us back. Help us when we are most feeling lost to know that you are always there. Amen. In the text from Jeremiah that we heard just now, it is a heavy text, but it is a text about grace and agency and also about repentance. It is a text that reminds us of who we are and that although we can fall short, that we always have God's love and God's grace. And reflecting on this Jeremiah text, an AME pastor from New Journey African Methodist Episcopal Church, Mason Parks, Pastor Mason Parks, tells a story, reminding us that no matter what we do, we can always go back to God. He talks about a young man, a young boy, whose mother bought him a brand new white suit. Now keep in mind, we're talking AME tradition. And I have had the joy of worshiping in some AME churches. Anyone else? I'm just going to say that from my experience in these particular churches, in those churches, they were like way better dressed than us. I'm not going to say that that's all AME churches because I haven't been to all AME churches. But let me tell you, I can picture from Pastor Mason's story that this white suit was something special. And in not just AME churches, but in Black church tradition, that the what we wear to church is a blessing, right? Here too. I mean, we all look awesome, but I'm giving you some cultural context and picturing this young African-American boy going into his church in this white suit. His mom wasn't feeling well, sent him to church by himself and said, come straight home from church. So he's sitting in church, paying attention, being a well-behaved young man, and it starts getting a little bit cloudy outside, and he knows that it's going to be raining when he goes home. So in his brand new white suit, he's heading home, and he didn't give the age of this boy, but I'm picturing he's about 13. And picture being in a new suit. Think about yourself as a 13-year-old in a new suit or a new dress or a new something that your parents bought you, and it is raining, and you know what is absolutely unresistible? The great big puddle. So he had the choice. He could walk around the puddle, or he could run and jump over the puddle. So this young man decides, of course, to jump over the puddle and does not make it to the other side. So he falls into the mud, and he doesn't just jump up and run home. He's like, well, I'm in the mud now. And what do we often do? Think of yourself as a 13-year-old. Start playing in the mud. So mom starts to get worried, comes looking for him, and finds him in his brand new white suit, splashing around in the mud. And he says, don't be mad. It's not my fault. I fell in the puddle. She says, you are not in trouble because you fell in. You're in trouble because you stayed and rolled around in it. When we make mistakes, don't we often decide to just stay there, roll around in it? I've messed it up already. Let's just be in the mud. And I've said many times, people are messy. We are messy. Life is messy. But sometimes maybe we don't need to stay in the mess. Sometimes maybe we don't need to live in that mess. When we make mistakes, when we fall, when we land in that puddle and we know mom's going to be mad, we don't have to stay in it. We can always get back up. We can always get up, move on, and do better. And this brings me to the Luke text. So, Luke, this gospel is all about social justice. And in this gospel, we are often seeing the grumblings. Do we know about the grumblings? Of course we don't here at MCC Tampa. None of us are ever participating in the grumbling, correct? There's never a conversation as you're walking out to the car and you end up standing there leaning against your car for half an hour. And you know, and then he preached again about this social justice stuff. And so Jesus was eating with the wrong people. Jesus was eating with people, and some of the church authorities got a little bit grumpy. And what do we do in religious spaces when we get grumpy? We grumble. So they were grumble. And what is Jesus' response? He shares a couple parables. Shocking, I know. We haven't learned that this is what Jesus does when he responds, especially to people who are annoyed by him. I think I'm going to take this on. Every time someone comes up and they're annoyed about something, I'll be like, let me tell you a story. Let me distract you with a lovely story. So the two parables that we heard of the lost sheep and the lost coin, these are the two parables that come before the story of the prodigal son, which is a similar thing of the child who goes away and squanders his money and then comes back and the father is glad. For some reason, in the lectionary, they make us wait all the way till Lent for you to hear that story. But in all of these stories, we hear about something being lost and something being recovered. Jesus challenges those who are listening, especially those who are grumbling, to think about what it means to be community and what it means to have boundaries. And boundaries are complicated and hard. Boundaries sometimes make people feel excluded if we don't understand what they mean. So Christ invites us to consider our own experiences. Instead of giving just one straight up answer, he invites us to think about when we are lost. Because it's not about the one sheep that gets lost from the herd, and it is not about the one coin. We are the sheep. We are the coin. We are the ones who get lost and find our way back. Jesus calls us back. He approaches this story by giving kind of economic terms, things that are concrete that we can understand. We can each think about when we have lost something. We can think about caring about the health and safety of those who we are entrusted to care for. We don't have to literally be shepherds to know what it's like to love other people and to know that sometimes the people that we love stray away from us. And sometimes we might notice that we're the ones that have strayed away from the people who we love. Jesus calls us to think about the most precious thing in our lives and what it would be like to lose it. What would it be like through our carelessness? What would it be like through our own just being human to have that brand new white suit and splash in the mud? What would it be like to have a treasure of a beloved friend and lose that friend? And this thing, this focusing on what matters most, brings me to where we are today, brings me to MCC Tampa. Who are we, MCC? Where did we come from? Does anyone remember from when we were talking about our origins? Where did we as a church come from? Bars. Exactly. Our first services were held in people's houses, and many, many MCC churches met in bars. We have a wonderful, radical, and strange history. I'm kind of proud of it, right? When I talk to my colleagues who are pastors in other denominations and they're like, we've been arguing about the color of the altar cloth for 500 years. I'm like, I don't know, we were just in bars. He Here's the thing. It is beautiful and wonderful and amazing that we came out of gay bars. It truly is. And we were an underground movement that has come up above ground. We are a movement that was done in secret, in places where it wasn't safe, in times when it was illegal to even be in those gay bars. And we were brave, knowing that just being in that bar could get us arrested. We were brave. And you know what else happens in gay bars? A lot of cruising, a lot of crude language, a lot of touching. And as our church culture moved from the bars into a different kind of sanctuary, it's often been confusing to us to hold on to our identity as identity changes. Do not mishear me. It is amazing where we came from. And it is equally miraculous that that is now part of our past. It is not something that we are to forget about. It is what made us who we are. And now we are being called to something else. We are being called to a new kind of safe space. We are being called away from bar culture, not in our personal lives. I'm not telling you don't go to the bars. Don't hear it that way. What I'm saying is that this place is no longer seeking refuge in the dark places of the bar where we can't even see each other well. You know what? Early MCC churches had two sets of roles, the role of the person's legal name and the role that they were of what they were actually called, because it was not even safe enough to be called by your own legal name at church. And we have come a long way. I feel so grateful for who we are and where we are today. So let's think about the reality of LGBT folks in this world. And I know we don't all identify that way, but we are a church that came out of the gay community and are part of the LGBT community. I use the term gay community intentionally. In the 1960s, that is what it was called, and today we are the LGBTQ plus community. And here are some realities about our community. The CDC did a study on the National Intimate Partner and Sexual Violence Survey and found that 44% of lesbians and 61% of bisexual women experience sexual violence, as opposed to 35% of heterosexual women. 40% of gay men and 47% of bisexual men experience sexual violence, compared to 21% of heterosexual men. We are called to answer this grieving, hurting, terrified community. When the National Center for Trans Equality did their famous survey in 2015, they found that 47% of transgender people are sexually assaulted at some point in their lifetime. 47%. And keep in mind the prayer that we heard this morning. The prayer that we heard about the trans woman of color, B. Love Slater, just 100 or so miles from here, who this week was set on fire because of who she is. I don't tell you these things to upset you. I tell you these things to point out that we have an amazing, sacred, beautiful calling in this world. We have been called by Jesus. I believe this in my bones. We have been called by Jesus Christ to be a safe haven to those who have been harmed, to those who have been hurt, for trans women of color who walk around every single day knowing that it is not just a possibility, it is likely that they will be harmed or even killed in their lifetimes. And Jesus puts this calling in our hearts. So how do we respond to those who are feeling lost? How do we take this rich, beautiful, amazing, gorgeous, messy history and say, we grew up splashing in those puddles. We are the people who weren't scared to get in the mud, right? And then we recognize that that mud that is in our history can make places feel very unsafe, not just to random people, but to our people. So many of us have experienced violence. Violence of words, violence of touch, violence of fear, and sexual violence. We are called to have better boundaries. We are called to have clear boundaries. We are called to make this a safe and beautiful place. And I get it. Sometimes someone walks in here and turns your head. I mean, like, literally every time, this guy right here. And it's okay to have those flirtatious and fun relationships with the people who you know well. But those who step in our doors for the first time might get a little scared if they don't know our history and where we came from. And even those who've been coming a long time who are part of this, we don't know what each individual person is carrying when they come through those doors. We don't know what damage and harm each of us carries. But what we do know is that we are those lost sheep. We are those lost coins. We are finding our way back home. And when we find our way home, we rejoice. We no longer have to live in fear. We no longer have to live in shame. We no longer have to behave in ways that aren't worthy of us, that aren't worthy of the calling that God puts in our hearts. We are a safe haven for those who feel lost. We are a safe haven for those who feel scared or abused, and it is okay. Not just okay, but necessary for us to say when we don't feel safe. It is okay and necessary for us to protect one another. It is okay and it is necessary to look around and say, where can I be comfortable and safe? Don't we want that for everyone? Culture shift is hard. I in no way want to turn my back on Troy Perry and all of those who created this church, all of those who lived and died for this church inside the walls of bars. And I can hold that truth, that beautiful, amazing, messy truth that is my history, that is our history, and also at the same time create safe places for us to worship. I want everyone who comes through these doors to feel loved and whole. I want everyone to feel nourished and blessed. Are you feeling lost? Can you remember the first time you ever walked through these doors? I mean, if it was today, then probably yes. But if it was a long time ago, can you remember the first time you ever walked through these doors? And what happened to your heart and the fear it takes you to overcome. I was just talking to Dana and Jackie about a brave thing that their granddaughter did. And at first they said with no fear, and then they said actually with lots of fear, and she did it. That's what church is for us. Lots of people can go to church without fear, but we know what it is like to be terrified and to be brave. God calls us, all of us, to be ministers, all of us. And as we think about B. Love Slater, the 23-year-old trans woman who died not far from here, please know that you are her minister. Please know that you are challenged with, even though you had never maybe heard of her, I had never heard of her till a couple hours ago and had to rewrite the whole thing that I was going to say today about this, but please know that she is part of us. Just like all of these people who responded to these surveys so that I could give you these statistics today about the harm that has happened to our community, we are their ministers. We are called to lift them up, called to create a safe space, a brave space, a place where people can truly come and know Jesus. Amen.